Hiya, folks. It's time to put your mouse ears on for the Mouse Ears Podcast with Brooks, Kara, Kelton, and Steph, where we discuss all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel. Welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast. We've got a super fun topic today. We are going to talk about the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And to do that, let's say hi to everybody. Hi, Steph.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Brooks.
Hola.
And hello, Kelton.
A jumbo.
Oh, man. We are keeping it international here, which is very, very fitting for what we're gonna talk about. So, Epcot, as you may or may not know, has four festivals throughout the year. Some people mark the year by seasons. I personally mark the year by Epcot festivals. To kick off the year, it's the International Festival of the Arts. Then it is the Flower and Garden Festival, then Food and Wine, and then the International Festival of the Holidays. But we're going to focus on food and wine today. So where do we want to start now? This is a loaded question, because when you're talking about the World Showcase and where you want to start, guys, it's the age-old question. You know, there's which came first, the chicken or the egg, and then there's where do you start, Mexico or Canada? what's your preference?
Mexico, 100%.
Yeah.
Woo. He's devout.
Whoa.
I don't have a preference. For me, it really just depends on my mood of what I want to start off drinking. And also it has to do with the heat. The heat does influence what kind of a drink I want to start with.
That's true.
So I can't say I have a preference like Kelton does.
All right. What about you, Brooks?
So I like to go the road less traveled.
Okay.
I usually go to Canada first. And I circle around and save the best for last and go to Mexico.
See, I thought you were going to say, like, you were going to take the Friendship Ferry across Hourglass Lake to Morocco and start there. Do you want to talk about that road less traveled?
So actually, that's kind of, I'm a little bit of a wild card, because we, especially during Food and Wine Festival, like to stay at the Epcot resorts, usually at Yacht Club. So we always come in the international entrance, which puts you between the UK and France. So that's usually my debate. Do I start in the UK and go that way, or start in France and go that way? So
fair question.
Yeah.
Fair
question. Wouldn't that kind of, you know, depend on what time you get in? Because they don't open that up, not the international gateway, but does France open? France doesn't open before 11 a.m. now, do they?
You know, I think the, what's the name of the, like, the quick service? Is it Les Boulangeries or something? It's kind of like a bakery where you can go get breakfasty type stuff. Croissant and whatnot. I think that's open.
Crepes. Okay.
Yeah. But no, I mean, Remy, they open Remy at, you know,
at Park Open.
Well, early entry, whenever early entry is.
And for our listeners, Epcot always, always, always has the longest line for their booth.
Oh my gosh.
I think out of all the different booths around the park, because there's booths obviously around World Showcase and all the different countries, but they also have it in all the different parts of Epcot as well. So,
I want to talk about long lines. Disney can make money off of Genie Plus just for the booth lines.
Oh God. Don't
now,
get
if we,
idea.
If we could get a percentage of that back to the Mouse Ears Podcast, that'd be phenomenal.
Not have lightning lanes for the kiosk, you get, the food kiosk.
You get your two lightning lanes, your virtual things for two booths.
You start a mobile order and a standby queue and call it a day.
Yes. Oh, I could go with that.
Right? Okay. But I think, Kara, I've had that debate too. If I go through that entrance, where do I start as well? But there really isn't any bad way to start. No. You're going to have a great time either way.
It's a win-win situation no matter what.
It's more a matter of how many times around the world can you go.
Oh, God. I'm lucky if I make it once. Sheesh.
It all depends on who the concert is that night.
Yeah, that too.
There's another factor.
So
foreshadowing for later in the episode.
I think this is a good time to let people know what Food and Wine Festival is and what they have. The official name for those of you that are listening and potentially haven't been to Food and Wine Festival. And we always refer to it as the Food and Wine Festival, but the official name is Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, presented by Corksicle. And the Food and Wine Festival, as Kara was mentioning, there's festivals throughout the year, and it's basically a bunch of booths around Epcot as an entirety, where they have unique foods and drinks, and as well merchandise, but that's a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just goes with the festival and whatever the holiday season is. So Food and Wine Festival, there are a lot of things that have to do with, let's say, wines and beers. And we'll definitely go through the list of some of the foods that they'll offer, because they do have a great variety of foods from all the different lands, cultures, worlds. And it's just a fun time. I feel like Epcot typically tends to be more adult driven park, but it's obviously a park for anyone and everyone. I mean, you've got plenty of rides, you've got shows, you've got great restaurants, and then there's the festivals. So that's kind of like an overview of Epcot's Food and Wine Festival, other than the fact that it did debut in Epcot in 1996, and it was only for 1 month when it first started at Epcot, and now it's probably the longest or second longest festival each year. It kind of competes with Flower and Garden Festival every year, and this year is going to run from this year, meaning 2023, depending on when you're listening to this. It will run from July 27th, 2023, until November 18th, 2023. So you have a good amount of time to go and explore the wonders of Epcot's Food and Wine Festival.
Almost 4 months.
Yeah,
almost. It's a great time. I mean, you know, everyone keeps wanting to go back and explore that specific festival, and Disney listens, and that's why they've been able to extend the days. It's really worth it. And that's not even talking about the concerts.
Like, I always think of teachers, you know, or anybody whose job is tied to school or, you know, school administration, who they can only go in the summer, like, or they can only go during breaks, you know. So, and Disney's kind of done the same thing with Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which we're not going to get into because that's a completely different topic. But they've moved it, you know, they've inched it back into the summer to where that's now starting in mid-August, and Food and Wine is now starting in July. So people... the people who can only come during the summer, they can also experience all this.
It's and you also get to explore it during Halloween season as well, and all the fall decorations, which is always very popular as well with Disney guests.
Very.
I know I'm one of those people that I'll go towards the beginning of the season. Or the festival, I should say. And then I typically go again once or twice more, and definitely try and enjoy it in October when the air is a little bit more crisp as well. It does make it more enjoyable as well. Not going to lie.
But along with that, you do have to also watch when Florida does get that really, really nice weather, especially on the weekends, the festivals are, I mean, the Floridians are out. The locals love being a old local myself. We loved going to Food and Wine on the weekends.
It's just a fun thing. You get to eat, drink, and listen to good music, you know, and you can coordinate your trip as well with, hey, who's performing this day or this weekend or this night. And that also is a huge factor, I think.
Yeah,
oh, that no, music, is, you're not just talking about Voices of Liberty.
Sensational as they are.
No, I think we're talking about more of the fact that for the first time, Brooks and I are going to be meeting for the first time face to face, minus, you know, doing the podcast eye to here. Eye to eye.
But
for our Joey Fatone concert series weekend. Oh, it's going to be four phenomenal
If we could be
days.
The and friends. If we could be the and friends.
Yeah, I would love to be the and friends. I, yeah.
You be and, go you there. Be friends.
I mean, I would do the bye, bye, bye.
Stay tuned for the boys episode to come.
That's right.
But see, but that's what I mean, people from outside the state are definitely planning their trips around who their favorite artists might be. So, and Joey Fatone and friends. I mean, I'm hoping we're going to get all five of them there this year.
Come on. So, do you guys want to talk a little bit about the Eat to the Beat concert lineups that they're going to be having?
And yeah, give so a what, little... what these guys are talking about is, along with the Food and Wine Festival, one of the things that there is to do are these concerts that take place throughout the whole thing. It's every night, actually, there's a concert, and they release the lineup ahead of time. And so you can plan. You can, you know, if there's somebody you really want to go see, you can do that. And they are held in the Amphitheater of the America Pavilion, which is right dead center of the World Showcase, which is really nice because you can hear it even if you're just walking by. You can just kind of hang out nearby and listen, or you can go and actually sit and really watch the show.
And not only that, they have three show times that you can go, and they're at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 o'clock. And why not, as soon as you get done with that 5:30 concert, you just swing right back in, get in line for the 6:45, and you just keep on going. But
it's also nice because it does happen around like that dusk time frames, and you still have time to watch Epcot Forever or whatever nighttime That's show true. Is happening yeah. at the end of the park day. So you get to do a lot.
Right.
Yeah, so, sorry, go ahead, Brooks.
And along with the wonderful lineups that they have, and we'll go through, I feel like some of the highlights of the concert lineup in a second. But starting July 6th, you can get a dining package for the Eat to the Beat, to where you can make a reservation at one of the great restaurants there at Epcot. And they have, we're going to talk about some of the food at the festival, but year round, there's phenomenal restaurants so you can eat at all the time at Epcot. But you can make a reservation, you can have a great meal, and then you get priority seating for the concert. So say if you're going to go for Joey Fatone and friends, you eat a great meal, you get priority seating, and they can, and during the concert, maybe Joey can see your matching t-shirts, and maybe you could become and friends.
We might become and friends. I can't wait. I think we've already got our restaurant picked out for the dining package. We'll be there July 6th at, well, it'd be 5 a.m. my time, but to get on and book our dining package. See, that's why you get yourself a travel agent at one of these platinum earmarked agencies like Fairytale Journeys Travel. We are up with our cup of coffee. It doesn't matter if it's 8:30 at night or 6 a.m. in the morning, booking your dining reservations or anything else you might. If we have to go on and dial that phone, we're the ones to do it, and that's why you should contact us. But anyway, I digress on the dining reservations.
And the thing about, just a little tidbit too, these dining reservations aren't just for dinner, because you might think, well, oh my goodness, is it going to interfere with the show times? No, you have the option of like a breakfast reservation, lunch, or dinner. So whatever is going to fit best in your itinerary and your group's plans for the day, there is an option for you. So I think that's always important.
When I went, I was able to go last fall, And for some reason, the rest of my family did not want to go see Boys to Men with me. So I...
Why?
Blasphemy. Exactly. So that's a whole other episode also. But what I did was I made a reservation at Garden Grill for lunch. And I went by myself to Garden Grill and I hung out with my friends, Mickey, Chip, Dale, and Pluto, had a phenomenal time, and then got my ticket for Boys to Men that night and was able to go, you go down into like the front section of the theater, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, and it's, you know, it's just all part of it. So, and I was able to get that, you know, don't worry. Don't sit here thinking, oh my God, if I'm not on like right then to get these dining reservations. No, I got that dining reservation while I was there on that trip. So there are, you know, there can be some still available that late.
Kara, do you have pictures or videos from your time?
Oh, I've got video. Oh, it's on my TikTok. And I was like 10 feet away. I wish I knew his name. You know, I love them, but I'm not like a mega fan to like know exactly their names. But that was
Sean.
I wish I could tell you, but I was all the way on the side because in typical fashion, I got there like right as it was starting. So I got down to I was in the back of the front section all the way on the side, which great location still, but he walked all the way across and then up along the side. So he ended up like 10 feet away from me. And I managed to cut down to like a 1 minute TikTok on my TikTok.
I love it. I want to see that.
Yeah.
And you brought up a great point too for our listeners. This amphitheater is a pretty intimate setting. I mean, Epcot's big and you can listen to it wherever you are, which is kind of nice. But if you are lucky enough to get a seat, it's just a really small amphitheater where you just really feel like you're in it. And I think it's wonderful. And I mean, you can always, even if you don't have a seat, if you're hanging out back in America and having a drink or eating some food, like it's also a great place to be. And, but you know, you definitely get that luxury if you end up doing like a dining package and get a reserved seating. It's definitely a perk.
Yeah.
Definitely a perk.
Yeah.
But, Brooks. Oh, sorry, Kelton. No,
I was just going to say, we were talking about it. Do we want to just go ahead and tell everybody, you know, who's going to be highlights. Here and the dates?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I guess since I interrupted, I'll go ahead and take it then, I guess. So with the start of the Food and Wine Festival on July 27th, oh, you're going to kill me on this one because I know I cannot pronounce who was performing on the 28th and the 29th of July. Anybody, feel free to just dive on in and see if you can pronounce the name of this new artist. I have nothing.
Oranthi?
That's kind of the route. Oranthi. That's kind of the route I was going. I have not heard of them. So any listeners, if you have, please let us know in the comments below. But they are from the 28th and 29th. Then you have King and Country coming in to finish up July with the 30th and the 31st. Diving into August, you've got Southern Avenue, August 4th and 5th. Tiffany's kind of one. I mean, like we were talking earlier, we've seen, you know, Tiffany every year. She's there the 6th and the 7th. Then you have Ruben Studdard.
Studdard. He won American Idol.
Oh, did he really?
He beat Clay Aiken.
I was just going to say, he won the year Clay Aiken came in second.
Well, there you go. August 11th and 12th. Then you got the Bacon Brothers. They're brand new this year as well to the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, August 13th and 14th. And then, Brooks, it's our weekend.
Yes.
August 18th through the 21st.
That's
Joey
right.
Joey Fatone. And Brooks friends. And Kelton.
With friends.
We're going to be there. Aaron Jones, who is also new to Food and Wine, August 25th and 26th. Then you got Philip Phillips. They say he's new. I thought he was there last year. I could be wrong. But
I'll be going to see him.
28th. Oh, I'll you're going to have to him. Let us know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
From Albany, Georgia.
There we go. Throwing it back to the early 2000s in September, the Baja Men, 1st and 2nd of September. Then you got Mercy Me coming in September 3rd and 4th with Ray Parker Jr. September 8th and
Ghostbusters.
9th.
Ghostbusters.
You've got Toby Mac, the 10th and the 11th of September. And this one should be interesting. There's a celebrity Latin talent, a TBA, the 15th and 16th of September. So for my Florida locals out there, I'm hoping it's Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull. Come on, man. Let's do it.
Mr. 305 Worldwide. Let's go.
You got Raul Acosta. Did I pronounce that right? Maybe. September 17th and 18th. Los Amigos Invisibles, because I cannot
Los
speak.
Amigos Invisibles.
See, there we go. Thank you.
My uncle loves them. That's why I know.
Are you guys going to go?
What?
Are you guys going to go?
We have seen them perform before. Not sure if I'll be going this year, but they have been there in the past because it stood out to me before. So stay tuned. Maybe I will if I can.
Well, they're there September 22nd and 23rd for the ones who are looking forward to that one. And you got a 98 Degrees September 24th and 25th with one of Kara's favorites, Boys to Men, September 29th and 30th. Which leads us into October, where Boys to Men are there for two more nights. They're there four nights.
Yeah. Take advantage.
October 1st and 2nd. Good. See, these are the groups you want to
convince my wife to go see Boys to Men.
No, it's so good.
That would be good.
It's just 90s, just fantasticness.
Well, it keeps getting better because we got Mark Willis on the 6th and 7th of October. Throwing in the late 90s, early 2000s with Sugar Ray on the 8th and 9th of October with Hoobastank
on the 13th
and 14th of October with Air Supply on the 15th and 16th. We've got Taylor Dane October 20th and 21st. Dean?
Taylor Dane.
Dane. I don't know why I do this and I cannot. You would think with a last name like mine, I could do it. Billy Ocean, October 22nd and 23rd. Hanson. And I've seen them. They're phenomenal at Food and Wine.
That's a big name.
October 27th through the 30th for Hanson. And bringing us into November, we have We the Kings, who are new to Epcot Food and Wine, November 3rd and 4th. We have Sheila E. Or Shayla. Could be Sheila.
Sheila?
November 5th or 6th. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, November 10th and 11th.
That's just a great band name.
It is. Oh. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. But finishing up with one of my favorites, 38 Special, November 12th and 13th. I have seen them almost every year when I was working for Disney. And phenomenal concert. They can do a Food and Wine concert very well.
And I just want to make a comment. Schedule. I just want to make a quick insert here. Notice that there aren't concerts every single day. So if this is something that is important for your trip, definitely plan ahead, especially with an FDJ agent. Yay!
As you can tell, we're passionate about the concert series at Food and Wine.
It's a can't miss, that's for sure. Now, I guess it's a good time to start discussing some of the delicious foods and drink options that they do offer. You know, six different continents throughout the World Showcase. But just because there's six different continents doesn't mean there's six different booths. There are how many booths? There's countless.
I think 25.
Sure. Oh, I did. I did read that they had, I thought it was over 25. So, but when you think about it, I was thinking, well, there's got to be way more than that.
Feels like there is. No matter how many times I go, I feel like I can never get to all the booths.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Yeah, like, wait, how did I miss that one?
And the best way to do it too is like if you're with a family or a partner or friends, you know, I personally wouldn't get multiple of the same plate or drink. I would get a variety and try different things so that way you're not getting full off of the first, second, or third booth and you're able to pace yourself to be able to try and tackle as many as you can. And the plates aren't big. They're pretty small. You definitely get a few bites in for sure, but you'll get full pretty quickly.
It's a good sampling size. You know, it's not a full meal, but it's not like a bite. You know, it's a good, it's a decent sampling size. Because that's really what you're doing, you know? You want to try a different, a bunch of different things.
Absolutely. Now, Brooks, do you have some of the booths and the food options to read off or highlight, essentially?
Not only do I have some, I have the list of all of them right here. Let me just do my little papers.
Audible is prepared. Guys, we're so passionate about food and wine.
So passionate that I actually use printer ink.
That'll come in handy one day.
So, I mean, there's so many to choose from. And each booth has, not only does it have food options, but every booth has a beverage option as well. Literally, there are so many options. The first one that honestly caught my eye was the Brew Wing booth, because all the options of wings, I love chicken wings.
That one's new from last year too, I think. I feel like that one hasn't been around for too long and it was really popular, so they brought it back.
Yeah. But some of them that they have a sriracha lime wing with celery and ranch. They have sticky wings with peanut sauce and grape gel.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds delicious.
And then going to you know, I always talk about starting in Canada. During the Flower and Garden Festival, they had actually like a shrimp risotto, like a shrimp poutine fries. Like previous year that they had lobster poutine, but this year they're having the Canadian cheddar and bacon soup served in a pretzel roll. And then also they have the La Sierre wild mushroom beef filet mignon with truffle butter sauce.
God, I'm hungry.
I know, I am too.
Torture. We're only on like menu number one or two. And we're
I don't know if I'm going to make it through all of these.
And then I'm just mentioning the foods. If someone else wants to mention the beverages, because I do not partake in the alcohol, but I do partake in the coffee drinks. So I can talk about the coffee as well.
Ooh, we definitely got to mention Joffrey's seasonal coffees and drinks. That's a must.
Oh, I will.
thank you.
So right after, they have these in alphabetical order. I'm going to try to go a little faster. In China, they have pan-fried chicken dumplings. Mongolian beef bao buns.
Yum.
And Coastal Eats, they have a baked scampi dip and oysters Rockefeller. And then it's not just meats. They also have vegan options for the Earth Eats. They have the Impossible Burger Slider and the Impossible Meatballs. And I tell you, Disney does the vegan options extremely well. I believe over in the Africa Outpost, they have like a jackfruit hot dog. Amazing.
Disney's always pretty accommodating with their food. For the booths, they have certain selections. Restaurants, obviously, they can accommodate much more. But they really do have something for everyone. Keep that in mind, listeners. Definitely some place to go and visit.
yeah, so like I have I have celiac, so food and wine is kind of a different experience for me. I can't just, you know, go and try everything, but they do have gluten-free options, and, you know, dairy-free, and, you know, there's so many allergy concerns that they do a good job with it. Some of them, some of the gluten-free options are noted. Some aren't. If you go up and you ask, it's always best to ask. Some things aren't gluten-free, but can be made gluten-free, can be altered a little so that you can have it. You know, they might leave off something or whatever. Now, again, I have celiac, you know, there's different levels. So if you're sensitive, you might be okay, but somebody who reacts really badly might not. So, you know, obviously use your own judgment. And like Steph said, they can't accommodate quite as well as the restaurants that have full kitchens, but they can certainly, you know, there are options for you, but it's your own comfort level, you know, as far as checking and what you're okay with.
But going back to some of the other food options, so they have a Hawaii booth that has a pork slider with a sweet and sour dole pineapple chutney and spicy mayonnaise, which sounds amazing.
I will be there.
Yes.
And I will try this.
The hops and barley, they have a Chesapeake crab slider with tangy coleslaw and Cajun remoulade. See here. In Japan, they have a teriyaki chicken bun, which is a steamed bun filled with chicken, vegetables, and teriyaki sauce. And the Kenya booth, they have a Kenyan coffee barbecued beef tenderloin with a sweet potato and corn, Malay pap, and have a special slaw with that. That sounds amazing. Mexico, they have their just regular taco pastor. I definitely getting very hungry again.
Can I make a comment, Brooks?
Yes, yes.
I just wanted to let our listeners know that they have a lot of salty foods, but they have a lot of desserts too.
Definitely.
You've mentioned a lot of delicious things, Brooks, for sure. But there are dessert options too on top of drinks at these booths.
So, for instance, at the refreshment port, they have a maple cheesecake with whipped maple bourbon cheese and candy pecans.
I am packing my bags. This is amazing.
already? Oh, goodness.
At the Shimmering Sips, hosted by Corksicle, they have a guava mousse on a sugar cookie with a coconut lime whipped cream.
Sold. Done.
And then going back to savory, at the Swanky Saucy Swine, they have a crispy barbecue pork rinds, soy glazed sticky ribs.
At Swanky Swine, that one,
yes.
I'll make this interjection. Every time I go with my boyfriend, we dominate Food and Wine Festival. And
that
when
sounds
I
like
tell
a challenge.
Yes.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
I just say he beelines it to this booth because they always have this drink. Can't quite remember what it is. It could be bourbon, but it has.
They have a bourbon Bloody Mary with seaside grown Bloody Mary mix and a Grand Warford Reserve bourbon whiskey.
Because they have one that has like a piece of meat. I can't remember. Wow, terrible description. It has a food with it. It's a drink with a food in it. And he beelines it to it. And they've had it every year because it's been so popular. I don't know if they had it last year, but that one is a really popular booth.
And I will say about the Swanky Swine, I know that I can get stuff there. That was one of the booths where I was able to get stuff last year, and it was so good. And it's across from the little playground. So you can get your yep. food and your bourbon with meat in it, apparently, and watch your kids play or watch kids play and be happy you don't have kids while you drink your bourbon, whichever works for you. And munch on the meat in your bourbon.
Disney's really good about getting creative, especially with, and you know, this will be a future episode, but the Festival of the Arts, they get so creative with their food options and drinks too.
Yeah.
I mean, not for nothing, you'll always see Instagrammers and all these influencers posting the different presentation of drinks and foods for these festivals, including festival food and wine as well. And, you know, these are no exceptions. You'll find some fun things to try if you are an adventurous eater. And if you're not, there's also some more common foods, if you will.
I like common delicious. Foods.
Yeah. And it's so funny, like, you know, you mentioned about all the pictures and everything. And it's so – Disney, you know, has the massive following that it has. And then it breaks down into certain, like, aspects that all have, like, their own cult followings. And it's, like, to the point where not only do people love food and wine, there are certain foods or drinks that get elevated. Like, what is it? The violet lemonade? People bound as the violet lemonade. Like, they dress up as this drink. Like, that's how serious people get about this. It's crazy. That's how popular some of this stuff gets.
It's crazy. I mean,
and people that's part are of the fun. That's part of what it makes is. It so fun.
It is. Brooks, did you have a couple more? If not, I had a couple of suggestions for.
So I have real quick. So ending with the last couple sweet ones at the Tangerine Cafe, they have a pistachio cake with cinnamon pastry cream with and candied walnuts at the funnel cake stand at the America Pavilion. So you can get that and then go to your Eats to the Beans. Mm-hmm. They have a mini pina colada funnel cake with pina colada ice cream, whipped cream, toasted coconut, and maraschino cherry drizzled and coconut rum sauce.
We are going to get one of those when we are there.
Say, that sounds like the perfect companion for your Joey Fatone and friends.
And then to end it all with the Joffrey's coffee and tea, the coffee carts. They have four special beverages. At the America Adventure, they have the Mocha Madness, which is a sweet frozen cappuccino blended with chocolate syrup. At the World Showcase near Disney Traders, they have the Castaway Cold Brew, a creamy combination of Joffrey's Shaken Jamaican Nitro and Sweet Cream. Near Canada, they have the Arctic Sunrise, a cool citrus treat featuring passion fruit over ice and coconut syrup. And then last, at the World Discovery near Mission Space, they have the Nitro Dreams, a creamy combination of Joffrey's Shaken Jamaican Nitro Cold Brew, Irish cream syrup, and half and half topped with cream.
So for my Disney drinkers, yes, it's a thing.
Hello.
All of these Joffrey drinks, they do have alcoholic versions of them. And we didn't really discuss alcohol much in this episode. There are lots of options.
Oh, there! Every booth has more. Has beer just as much, if not more, options.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there are alcoholic and non-alcoholic versions. Keep that in mind. I think that's important, especially for little ones who want to, you know, think like they're drinking with mommy and daddy and they're not. but that Joffrey's drink from Canada, that one has an adult version to it that I can honestly say on a hot day, it is so refreshing and it just hits all the right spots. Big fan of that one. Glad it's returning this year because I definitely enjoyed it last year.
Nice.
So you might be thinking this is pretty overwhelming. There's so many booths. How am I going to get to all of them? Where are all these booths located? Where do I start? So you do have multiple options. When you get into the parks, they do have little booklets for each of the festivals, in this case, Food and Wine. And in that booklet, you can see a map of all the different booths, mm-hmm. where they're located, menus for every single booth and the name of that booth. And you also have different activities that they actually, Disney incorporates to each of these festivals. So it does become more of like an interactive experience, especially for little ones. Karen, did you want to mention some of these activities perhaps?
Yeah. So the, like you just mentioned, they've got the little booklets and it's really cool. You can go around to each location and mark off that you've been there. And I think you, like, if you do certain ones, you get something at the end. You can go and they like I know, like, well, this is a different festival, but for the holiday one, there's the cookie stroll where you try a bunch of different cookies. And if you get them all, you get a special cookie. So it's like that, but it's, you know, different. Then they have a scavenger hunt for kids where you can buy the map and you can, you know, do it the official way. And again, you get something at the end, or you can just know that there's a scavenger hunt and just kind of look around for this stuff and just have fun spotting it for free. So, which is also nice that you can do it that way too. And that is the Pluto pumpkin one, I believe. And that actually only runs like for part of it. It's not there in July and August. I think it starts in September and goes through October. But yeah, there's always, you know, in the World Showcase year round, there's the KidCot stops throughout World Showcase. That's fun for kids. There's the DuckTales scavenger hunt, which is so much fun. Like, I enjoy doing that as much as my kids do.
Thank you, Kara.
So Kara, you were talking about the special food ones that they do. So for the Food and Wine Festival, they have the returning Emile's fromage montage.
It's cheese.
It allows you to purchase any 5 dishes and is shown on your festival passport. And then once you've gotten the stamps for all 5 of them, you return it to the Shimmering Sips hosted by Quirksicle to redeem for a unique treat. And then also for the kids, they had the Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak, which is a special scavenger hunt. You purchase the special Remy map and place all the accompanying stickers as you come across Remy in the park. And once you've collected all 15, you turn in your card for another special treat.
Lots of treats. Of fun options. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love a treat?
I know I do.
Which, by the way, if our listeners, if you like a treat and you see Kelton or I at Joey Fontaine's and Friends featuring Kelton and Brooks, if you see us and mention that you would like a special treat, maybe one of us will get you the special mini funnel cake right across at the America Pavilion.
There's only one way to find out.
I love that.
We tell you when we're going to be there.
August 18th through the 21st. Joey matching Fatone and Friends.
So, you guys cracking me up. So all in all, it does seem overwhelming, but if you plan ahead, look at some of these menus, booths beforehand, it will help. You know, you'll kind of gauge a little bit of what kind of things you'll like and not like prior to going on this wild Epcot adventure. And another thing to keep in mind, all of these booths accept many forms of payments, including cash, credit card, magic bands, Disney gift cards, Disney Visa reward dollars, and you can do a prepaid card, which may come in handy, especially if you have young ones that are kind of being, you know, left to their own whims. And if you don't want them just swiping away the card, you can basically purchase these prepaid cards, put a set amount of money on it, and that kind of keeps you track of how much you're spending throughout the day. Especially if you're on a budget, this is a great way to stick to that. It is very popular. I myself have used it. I know many people that use it.
That is my number one tip for festivals, is to do that prepaid card.
Absolutely.
100% budgeting.
And then you can also reload it if you need to.
Especially with the drinks. Drinks, they'll add up pretty quickly. So it's a way to kind of hold yourself to a budget. And it's easy. You go to pretty much any of the stores at Epcot to purchase them, I believe. So, and they come with like a cute little rubber band. So it's always on your wrist.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have your magic band on one hand. You have your, for me, you have a watch on the other hand. And then you have the little drawstring. You just feel like all the when those special bands that came in like the shapes were real popular years ago.
Nice. Yeah. And it, you know, it's, you certainly can plan ahead, or you could, it's one of those things where you can also go and just see where it takes you. Just go and be like, let's try this booth. Let's try that booth. You know, if you don't have a set plan, it's cool. You can just try whatever you want to try also. So it works. It works for whichever way you want to do it. So that is just a little bit, just kind of an overview of Epcot's Food and Wine Festival, which you have almost four full months to go to Disney World and to enjoy. And if that sounds awesome to you, you can reach out to one of us to plan a trip for you this year for this Food and Wine Festival, or even for next year, because all of 2024 is currently open for booking. So that is just absolutely fantastic. So maybe you're wondering, well, gosh, how do I get in touch with one of you? Steph, what is your, how can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at FTJ by Stephanie PG, or on Facebook, Fairy Tale Journeys by Stephanie Perret-Gentile. It's a bit long, but you can find it in the show notes.
Brooks, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Brooks. And you can also find me on Instagram and on TikTok at FTJ by Brooks.
And in Epcot at the Joey Fatone and Friends concert.
Yes.
Right? As well as
FTJ by, with FTJ by Kelton.
Right. You can find both of you there. Where else, Kelton, can they find you?
Also on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Kelton, and along with Instagram at FTJ by Kelton. And August 18th through the 21st at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 o'clock at the Joey Fatone and Friends concert series.
And between them at the funnel cake booth by America. Right? Just you're just wearing a path between the two. Yeah.
Kara, how about you?
Oh, well, me. Well, you can find me on Facebook at Fairy Tale Journeys by Kara. Kara with a K. I should probably note that. On Instagram, Fairy Tale Journeys by Kara. And on TikTok, it's Diz_Kara, Diz_Kara. And then also on Facebook, be sure to join our group, the Mouse Ears Podcast group. Where you can comment, you can even make suggestions about future topics. We would love that. And also the Mouse Ears blog on Instagram. You can find us there also. So yeah, any final thoughts on Food and Wine?
Oh, I can't wait.
Don't miss out.
I don't know about you guys, I'm hungry. That is a good tip. And we probably should have said before we started that it would be good if you had a snack to listen to this, because I don't know about y'all, but man, I am hungry now. So
that makes four of us, I think.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, and be sure to join us next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Adios.